Magandang araw, Podmates! We are here today to talk about TikTok. You know, what older people like me like to bash as a trashy platform full of bad dancing and fake news and blamed for everything from the lack of discipline of the youth to bad election outcomes. My guest today is a different kind of TikTok video creator known online as Mighty Magulang. Yes, she is a parent and not a new parent. Welcome to the show, Mighty Magulang, also known by her real name, Mona Magno Veluz. Magandang araw sa'yo.
Hello po. Hello, Howie. Salamat sa pag-imbita.
Mona, no, you are a nanay. That's why you're a Mighty Magulang. No, you have grown-up children. TikTok is associated with youth. No? So what on earth is a nanay like you doing on TikTok?
I went on TikTok really as a self-indulgence. Last year, I've only been on TikTok for a year. Last year, medyo sad ako, na parang the pandemic was weighing on me, and I said, I had to do something new. I've always been a content creator. I started blogging many, many years ago. I've been active on social media. And I said, I don't know TikTok yet, so let's try that. And when I went on TikTok, I was looking at what the kids were doing, and I said, I can't do that. Na parang cringe kaya kung gawin ko yon, and my kids would disown me if I did. So I looked at what I had and what I can share, and that is really genealogy and history, because that is my passion. That is something that I really like to do. And even then, when I started doing my content, people were telling me, masyadong mahaba ang TikToks mo. Dapat 8 seconds lang. Imagine a history class in 8 seconds. Napakahirap nun, ano. So I said, no, I'm still going to do my thing. Bahala na lang. Kahit na ako lang ang nanonood ng videos ko, okay lang sa akin yun. It really gave me joy to create those short videos, and I'm just happy that people also appreciate them outside my family.
Well, first, I know there was a death in your family, you know, that's why you went into this funk, and one way of dealing with it was to try this new platform. I mean, some people go into gardening, di ba, during the pandemic.
I did that too.
Yeah, well, both of us, no? But sabi mo nga, you know, you have an interest in history, you know? Dati kasi ang history was kind of a dry, you know, academic subject na, you know, pinag-uusapan lang sa school. But these days, no, it's a battlefield, no? It's a war, almost, no? Different versions of history, my alternative history, my revisionist history, my real history, my chismis history, etc. No? Nung naisip mo pumasok sa TikTok and, you know, indulge your interest in history, were you ready for combat? I mean, what were your expectations nung pumasok ka sa TikTok intending to talk about history, especially recent history, you know, the more controversial parts of our history?
I was so out of touch na, Howie, na I came in, like I said, talagang self-indulgence lang. I have been a genealogist for 20 years, so I have researched a lot of families. And I had so much data that I would just dive into to lose myself. In the background, I didn't know, I didn't even anticipate, uy, malapit na pala election. Uy, meron pala sa YouTube, meron palang mga alternative histories na pinapresent. I didn't have any knowledge of that. I didn't have any scan. It wasn't on my radar. Kaya when I did this, it was really myself. And all of these, I would say, little fights that I eventually saw came in after I was already into this for like a month. And in the first month, I had like 100,000 followers. And I was surprised at the extent of the revisionist narratives that I found myself a reluctant sergeant in this war na parang, uy, may away pala. Andito na ako, paano na lang yan? So pinaninindigan ko na lang. So before, ang content ko, parang 1 minute, I just hold my phone on my hand, tapos na. And usually, I talk about stock knowledge. Nung after September 21, I was deluged with all of these comments. I felt na, uy, I have to do this a little better. Even if I know this already, I started citing, I started being very deliberate on what I say para I know that I have the evidence to back it up. So, ganon yung approach. And I think the good thing about coming into this with a genealogist's discipline is we only base our material on documents, on evidence. Hindi ko pwedeng sabihin magkamag-anak tayo na wala lang, pareho lang kulay natin, right? So it really is based on documentary proof, and I apply that to everything else that I do. I try to find legitimate and reputable sources with what I put out there.
So after 1 month on TikTok, you already had 100,000 followers, no? So
yeah.
Data, if you consider TikTok a battleground, no? Marami ka biglang kakampi. And then sabi mo nga, yung approach mo is, you know, history through genealogy, for those who are not familiar with that particular field, no? Ito yung pag-construct ng mga family trees, no? Pag-establish ng mga interconnections between families, between people, that sometimes even people in the family trees themselves were not aware that they're part of that family tree. You don't avoid controversial personalities in this,
no, I did not.
In your history, in your genealogy. Yeah. Maybe occasionally you do showbiz, no? Pero you do a lot of political people, no? A recent example lang si Imelda Romualdez Marcos, no? Very interesting yung nalaman mo for two reasons, no? One is ipinanganak pala siya sa San Juan de Dios, no? Which is interesting for me because that was our family hospital, no? Number two, the more interesting thing that you found out, no? Na on her birth certificate was not the name Imelda. She was born Hilda, H-I-L-D-A, you know? Everybody knows Imelda Marcos. Nobody knows Hilda Marcos. Did you discover that on your own, or alam mo na to from reading her biography and then you decided to turn it into a TikTok video and kind of coyly pretend that it was a discovery?
No, it wasn't. It wasn't something I actually knew before. I was doing a compilation of all of the birth certificates, death certificates, marriage certificates of the Marcos family in the context of researching where were the places they lived, because I was looking at another line of research. I was looking for her birth. I can only find her baptismal. It was an interesting find. I was disturbed. Now, why can't I find it? Na parang nakakainis. Kasi it's the records were available. I had the right place. I had the right date. Bakit wala siya? And that
because,
is when...
Wait, excuse me. You were searching Imelda Romualdez.
Correct.
At the time.
I was searching for Imelda Romualdez. Pag binabasa mo, you put your eye in the spot where the name of the child is. So, scan. It's not like you Google it, type mo lang, lalabas na. You have to read each and every page of that book. Doon sa child field, hindi mo siya makita. So I just adjusted my eyes downwards and now I started looking at the parents. And it was when I was looking at the parents na, okay, hang on, ito yung parents nila. It's not likely that they had another child in the same year. And everything else matched. The address, the job, the ages. It is natural to conclude that it's the right person. And it's not anything nefarious. Ha? There is in our history a lot of times when your birth certificate differs from your baptismal certificate. Meron yung mga matatanda na sinasabi kapag masakitin yung bata, palitan mo yung pangalan para hindi na siya mahanap ng masamang espiritu that was hounding the child. So baka ganun. That's why her baptismal record actually says Imelda Visitacion Remedios Romualdez. So yun na yung pangalan na ginagamit niya. And for like if you want to travel abroad, back then, your baptismal certificate suffices. So hindi na niya kailangan ng birth certificate.
But okay, but that created another mystery, you know? So paano siya naging Imelda nga? Was this ever mentioned in any of her biographies? Did she ever mention this? Does she even know?
I don't know if she knew that she was recorded in civil records with a different name, but her baptismal name, she was baptized 3 days after she was born. And on her baptismal records, it was already using Imelda. So I would think she just used what she got used to. I don't know if she would know that.
Pero at one point siguro, she needed a birth certificate.
Baptismal is acceptable.
Pwede na.
Personally, my baptismal name is on my passport. Na mas, kumbaga may Maria. Eh, wala namang Maria sa birth ko. So, pinanindigan ko na lang yon kasi yun na yung nasa DFA.
A lot of people, no, nasanay sila na pupunta silang National Statistics Office, pipila ka, minsan hindi ka aabot dun sa cut-off, mag-aantay ka. I mean, online na ba itong mga documents na to? Birth certificates, marriage certificates, baptismal, to do all of this research?
Not all records are online. So if your materials or birth certificate, marriage certificate, death certificate is after 1945, you go to NSA. If it's before 1945, you go to the National Archives. So both of those methods, as in, antagal. Sa National Archives, posibleng maghintay ka ng taon for a document. So there are shortcuts that we use because there are paid platforms that provide that service. Ancestry.com has it. FamilySearch.org has it. FamilySearch.org is a free platform. Pero I think because of government regulation, they are unable to show the documents. In my case, so it is only open to church members because genealogy is part of the Church of the Latter-day Saints, processes. And that is why it is available to church members.
Excuse me, and you are a member of that church, that means?
No, I'm their adopted child.
Oh, okay. For research purposes.
No, I've been researching kasi for 20 years. So
okay,
I have
so you got
friends,
this privilege.
Yes, and I think they see me more than their church members. Let's put it that way. And I really want to help them promote that discipline. My ask is for the government to do this service for us. It should be easier for us to look at historical records, not just civil records, not just those that pertain to our family. The data privacy law, in my view, should open historical data, digitized historical documents to the general public. And I'm a vocal supporter of that kind of that change.
Well, you know, you've used specialized research skills in genealogy, you know, to establish all kinds of connections. You did a TikTok video connecting Bongbong Marcos and Chris Aquino, no? But it wasn't very close, no? But you were able to do it anyway, no? So,
yes.
Those are the two families that are, you know, have been at loggerheads in our recent history, you know, but yung sinasabi mo, magkamag-anak si Bongbong at saka si Chris. And not just that, Ninoy and Marcos. Ninoy Aquino.
No, it's actually Imelda and Ninoy who are related by marriage. Because
I see,
Ninoy's tita is the wife of a relative of Imelda.
Okay, but by affinity, related kay Ferdinand Marcos.
Correct. So they are related by marriage, one marriage lang, so it's not very far. In the same way that Chris Aquino and Bongbong Marcos are also related by marriage, also by the titas. In that case, they have titas who were sisters, like they married into their families. And again, this is me really sometimes having a memory for, uy, kila yung ano, yung relative ni ganito, si ganyan, sometimes, natatandaan ko siya. So, when the time comes that I have to draw the map of the family trees, I kind of visualize it. I also have all of this recorded. So, I have a database with everything. And I just search for this name and search for this name. How are they connected? Let me find the line. It is partly what I remember and partly the tools that I have that will help me kind of make those connections. I am an online curator for Genny.com, which is a genealogy platform. And that is where most of my research lives. I make it available to anyone who wants to research. But that is, of course, 50 years and above. Everything else closer, I mean, in the last 50 years, they can't access. But older generations, they can definitely access.
Itong Rizal and Leonor Rivera, no? Jose Rizal's great love si Leonor Rivera, no? So you have a TikTok video about them, about their love and their, you know, they broke each other's hearts. But you also revealed they were second cousins, no?
Correct.
Oo, and I guess even back then may pagka-tabu na rin 'yon, ano, to be in love and maybe and to get married to a second cousin. But what I found interesting there was yung sinasabi mong, you know, yung nanay ni Leonor Rivera, tinago yung mga love letters ni Jose Rizal from her. So akala ni Leonor hindi na siya sinusulatan, no? And then finally na-reveal na yun nga, Leonor's mother had been intercepting all of the letters from Rizal and eventually turned them over to Leonor when Leonor agreed to marry an Englishman, no? And then you mentioned that nung bago magpakasal itong si Leonor at saka yung Englishman, sinunog ni Leonor yung mga sulat, no? And then nilagay doon sa loob ng wedding gown. Parang si
that was the chismis. That was the chismis.
Okay.
Around that myth.
Yes, I want to ask you, no? So there's this whole conversation now about history as chismis and chismis as history. And basically nag-ulit ka ng chismis, no? And then kind of passing it off as history. I mean, what's your take on that, no? Kasi parang I don't know if that video preceded this whole tiff, no, between Ambeth Ocampo and this artista who said history is like chismis. She came out in the this movie, no, made in Malacañang, which was kind of a, you know, kind of a promotional movie for about the Marcoses, no. Pero you know, it was a very tantalizing piece of information, pero yun nga, in-emphasize mo na chismis siya, but right. Parang so it's not. Is that part of history?
I wanted to spur that conversation primarily on that. Kasi everything else is based on evidence. There are letters around it. There were documented diaries around all of the stories except for the myth around the burned ashes. The burning of the ashes was also evidence around that. And this is, through letters and through diaries, so personal accounts. But I couldn't find any evidence on the burning, the putting in the
gown,
what do you call this, the gown, and being buried with the ashes. Those were the two stories. So I wanted to highlight that histories are established by evidence, and that's the most important thing. Kapag chismis siya, sasabihin mo na ang chismis, and that was a very clear demarcation in my video, and that's also the conversation I'm having with the, you know, people who comment. Parang gets niyo naman yung difference, di ba? Na may, yung history may ebidensya, yung chismis wala. So, okay, sige, mas enjoy kasi ang chismis eh. So, sige, pag-chismisan natin, basta klaro tayo na wala siyang ebidensya. I have also other things that people were making chismis about. That is, okay, si Antonio Luna at si Isidra Cojuangco, were they actually together? Did she inherit the money of the Katipunan? Lahat yan chismis kasi walang ebidensya. Tapos I also had another round of conversations with people. Oh, si ano daw, si Ninoy Aquino daw is a result of incest. Like magkamag-anak daw yung magulang niya. Sabi ko, totoo yun, they're second cousins. Pero that is not incest. Na incest would actually mean 2 degrees of separation. Ikaw, o kaya magulang mo, o kaya lolo-lola mo, yon incest yun. Mm-hmm. Ikaw, or pamangkin mo, yon incest yun. Pero second cousins, hindi incest yun. So, yun yung mga, I think, very clear na I lay down in conversations. Kasi I wanted to use the videos also to trigger the right kind of or to model the right kind of behavior when talking about history. So talk about history and talk about chismis. You can do that, basta clear kung ano yung diferensya.
How far will you stretch that? Kasi ang dami ngayong mga controversial narratives, no? I mean, you know, I guess some of them have been already debunked as false, no? Pero kumakalat pa rin. I guess as chismis, pero maraming naniniwala dahil kinakalat siya, and because they agree with your political point of view, kinakalat naman ng lalong kinakalat, no? So yung sinabi mo na itong about Leonor and Rizal, medyo harmless chismis naman yan, no? But there is a lot of chismis, yung you've actually taken them up, no? Yung Taliano Gold, yung yung Ninoy as a Malaysian or NPA, or Lenny Robredo as NPA, and you could brand that as chismis, no? But how far would you go in airing chismis? Kasi there is chismis na medyo damaging kung ilalabas mo.
And that is the line nga that I don't cross. Like, if there is already malicious intent or result. Just an example, if I hear, like yung kay Plenario Mabini, ang chismis is, nalumpo siya dahil sa syphilis. Pero may ebidensya that said when he was exhumed, nakita na polio. So those are the kinds of things naman na for me is also a little a nice challenge na okay, ito yung chismis, lagyan natin ng ano, ng ebidensya. Pag-usapan natin kung ano yung source, pag-usapan natin kung totoo ba to or hindi. I also find that a big part of the content that I do, debunking chismis or supporting it, depende, di ba? Doon lang tayo sa tama at sa totoo. And I think that's kind of my battle cry. Ano ba yung totoo?
How do you find the time to do this? Is there a business model for TikTok that you're taking advantage of? I mean, with the size of your following now, ano, are you monetizing your content already?
I have actually been asked to promote certain causes, and I've been selective. So if you're selling something like Cortina, I will not do it. But I did one for World Vision. So those are causes that align to mine, and I was compensated for that. Pero TikTok is not TikTok is not a career. It is really something that I'm doing already as a service. I do work with an NGO. So I'm the national president of the Autism Society Philippines. And that takes so much of my time. So I carve out like the end of my day for this. And I film it, I edit it, and I even put captions. Because I'm in the disability community, the captioning is important to me. And so I check the captions. That's about a 3-hour thing.
For every video.
Before, ang bilis lang eh. Kaya lang ngayon, I check the research.
Wala pa yung research no? So you're talking just production and post-production.
Correct.
Kasi sa language namin sa TV, no? There's pre-production, which is the research and, you know, all your preparation before you actually start rolling the camera, no? On your part, it includes reading books and researching, no?
And before nga, I was just doing stock knowledge. So there are nights I don't have videos because that's the time that I'm actually researching.
I guess you're trying to prove a point then, no? You're trying to prove a point about TikTok that it's not just full of bad dancing and disinformation. There's also some good stuff there.
Right. And I think especially, you know, people in our generation, we're quick to put down TikTok. But what we have to appreciate that there is power in short form video, and the kids are watching that. So you have a generation that is making this something cool that the older generation cannot understand. So it's a perfect platform for them to learn. And while there is a lot of bad content, there's also a lot of good content on TikTok. It really depends on what you watch, because what is pushed out to you depends on what you linger on. On your timeline. So if you continue to angry watch all of these revisionist accounts, then that's what's going to be pushed to you. But if you consciously not watch them, take the air out of their flame, then you're going to get to watch better content.
Well, you know nga, recently you pushed back a politician who's lobbying or advocating ROTC, you know, for young people. Kasi nga, young people, sabi niya, need discipline. The youth are being spoiled. They're just, just wasting their time on their phones doing TikTok, you know, as if it's a waste of time, no? And then sabi mo nga, sandali lang, no? TikTok is not just full of trash. There's good content, sabi mo nga, no?
Yeah, and even in our generation, may tamad. Diba? Tamad is not about what you watch or what you consume.
Yeah, and as you said, I mean, even before the internet, wala nang disiplina ang maraming tao, no? So it has nothing to do with social media, etc. But in that same video, you cited you endorse, no, certain TikTok video creators as people who were offering good content, and I listed some of them down, no? Doc Crizel Luna, who's a physician, doctor, and then Doc John, who's a dentist, and these people are offering advice in, I guess, entertaining ways about, well, the dentist talks about taking care of your teeth, and see Dr. Crizel Luna, of course, is health advice. And then yung another doctor, no, Kiling Manguru, and then you also cited this hashtag #EduWow, no, yung kapag may educational content na may gagamit ka ng hashtag, no. But my question is, I mean, no doubt, no, there is good content, but if you weigh it against the bad content, how much bad content is there out there?
Me naman kasi, I see that there are a lot of people who have different opinions. But I think what needs to happen is not to shut that conversation, but to have certain standards. And we have been communicating with TikTok directly about this, and they have been very receptive. They have a policy, and the policy head actually very recently just had a launch on how the platform is taking measures to secure data of individuals and also to promote the right kind of content. And one of the things that they are pushing for now is originality. So if you are going to steal your content, like from GMA, a little bit of GMA news, a little bit of this, and kind of smash them together with your opinion, that is not original content. So they're taking steps to make the experience of the user more valuable. And I think that means drowning out those with poor quality content. They do have also people on their watch list, like those who are known to be pushers of lies, and they're being watched. If that individual has already been deplatformed on YouTube, for instance, they are already on their watch list. And there are a few, I would say, pseudo-political personalities who have already been deplatformed. And I think that's the important thing. I guess the small-scale liars, that is something that we deal with day-to-day. And even among us content creators, we also get to know each other. Together as a community, we talk about what those accounts have done, and we report them. And in many cases, they act on it naman. But if as a regular consumer, you saw it and, okay, pangit, you just scrolled through without reporting them, then you're also, I guess, missing on the opportunity to improve the situation. We cannot just let them be. We have to do something. We have to act on it.
Mm. Okay, well, of course, you're not just a user of TikTok and content creator. You're a parent, no? So what would you advise other parents, parents of teens and tweens, you know? Children are starting to go on TikTok, no? What are the most hazardous things on TikTok?
I wouldn't... And again, this is, I think, in my case kasi, I have always been very vocal to my children about, critical thinking, digital savvy. Na to a certain degree, they teach me. Na parang, mom, that's baiting you, or mom, this is not good content. I heard about this from another platform that they steal your data. So my children are actually quite savvy with double checking and going across platforms to look at particular accounts. So since parents can't do that, the important thing lang siguro is to make sure your children do not live on the internet. I don't think we should live online kasi a lot of kids and commenters I know, parang they have this yabang and tapang on comment section that they forget that's not how regular people converse. That you can't have that kind of feistiness on social media, but can never say that face to face. So parang I always calibrate your behavior as a human being in the real world should reflect your behavior online. And that's what I teach my children. If you can't do that, then you shouldn't be online. And I think parents should also become digitally literate themselves. That's the only way they can advise their kids. I don't believe in saying, oh, no, don't do this, or don't watch that, or don't do this. Siguro the only exception would be for known peddlers of disinformation. You let your kids know that that's not a good thing to watch.
So the content is one thing, no? And then the danger to kids, no? But itong allegation that TikTok is a tool for Chinese surveillance, because we know that TikTok is owned by a mainland Chinese company. In fact, in sa US, no, the chairman of the Federal Communications Commission, no, that kind of body has already warned Google, Apple, and maybe other major technology companies about TikTok and basically requesting them to remove TikTok from their app stores, no? And just to quote itong si Brendan Carr, no, ng chair ng Federal Communications Commission, no? So he called TikTok a quote sophisticated surveillance tool that harvests extensive amounts of personal and sensitive data, close quote, that collects search and browsing histories, face prints, voice prints, even keystroke patterns, as well as clipboard data. Not that, you're engaged in, national security issues or data, no? Mona, but baka may hidden agenda pala yung China dyan, no? Harvesting all of this information and data and crunching all of these numbers and knowing all of these things about us. And we know we have issues with China here in the Philippines.
And I actually had the opportunity to chat with TikTok, the leadership of TikTok, at one event. And I asked them that question. So at the time, there was the head of, I think, PR who was in the country. And he explained that the FCC issue was really born by their concerns about where the hardware lived. Because if the hardware is based in China, then they would not have any laws to protect that kind of behavior. But TikTok came back with a response to this, saying that all of their servers are actually not in China. They're in Ireland and in Singapore. So their concern about that lapse in behavior is not happening in those two countries because the digital security laws of those countries are protecting our information. So that's what I was told. I wouldn't know anything else, deeper than that.
Yeah, and to be honest, when I registered for TikTok, it asked for my birth date, and I didn't give a real one with that in mind. I don't know, is that good advice for TikTok? What kind of data should we not be sharing there?
In all honesty, I don't think people are honest when they disclose their birth dates, especially the kids, because putting that your birth date limits the kind of materials that you get. So this is to protect those under 18. So if you're under 18, there are certain content that you cannot access. Ako personally, I also don't give my real birthday. Kasi nga, it is something that, they can use in a bank or whatever. So don't give them your real birthdays.
When you first started, sabi mo nga, you were dealing with tragedy. So I suppose producing content for TikTok about, what you thought was kind of innocent subject matter, genealogy, history, would give you comfort. No, but now, a year later, yun nga, TikTok is a battleground. There's a lot of falsehood there. And you're one of those who have been countering all of these falsehoods. Does TikTok still give you comfort?
I think I carry my grief very, very close to the surface. So the TikTok helps because it keeps my brain busy and it distracts me from other things. It gives me an outlet for creativity. My work today, while it is very important, does not give me the opportunity to be, to be wacky when I want and to be serious when I want. Kasi serious ako palagi sa trabaho. It gives me the opportunity to talk to guys like you, talk to people in school, to talk to educators. Kumbaga, my sphere of influence has widened a bit. And I would like to use that gift to just promote digital literacy, critical thinking, and I guess the we have to put a premium on the truth. And it is not as vague as what people think it is. It is quite easy to find that if you are talking about genealogy or history. And we should not be faked into thinking that everything is up in the air and everything is not true, because there are absolutes in the world.
That's a very wise note to end on. Thank you for your time and for being a voice for truth. Mona Magno Veluz, also known as Mighty Magulang. Mabuhay ka at maraming salamat sa lahat ng ginagawa mo.
Thank you, Howie.
This episode was produced by the team of Aubrey De Los Reyes and Chan Salvador and edited by JR Magtoto with the wonderful people of GMA News and Public Affairs Digital. Thank you, Podmates, for staying until the very end of this podcast. And remember, nakakatalino ang mahabang attention span. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Till the next pod, mabuhay kayo at ingat lagi.